Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else as I try and navigate this crazy messed up world. Now, last time, I did talk about how I will be attending Magic Fest Minneapolis. I am, and that's not the only trip I have planned this year, but it is the first trip I have planned this year. And that said, I'm kind of going through and deciding what decks I want to bring with me, because I will be driving, so I don't have to try and get everything through the airport. That said, I do think I'm just going to bring my two quivers, because since I'm driving and I can bring whatever I want, and that means I can have somewhere around 10 to 12 decks. So I'm just kind of going through and kind of work on which ones I want to bring with me. Now, there's a few that I know I'm going to bring, definitely. Those include Goreclaw, Terror of Kel'Sisma, my Linden, the Steadfast Queen deck. These are things that are just always on me. I just kind of want to go through some of the other stuff that I have built and floating around that I kind of want to bring with me. And yeah, so first off, we are going to bring Goreclaw. We are going to bring Linden. I might also bring both of my dungeon decks, the first one being Nidar and Sephiroth. And then I might bring the Jota deck, but I have another five color deck that I'm planning on building, and that's what I'm going to be talking about in the second half of this, so that one's kind of probably not going to happen. Oh, I know who I'm going to bring. I'm going to bring Evelynn. So, Evelynn is a Grixis-colored vampire. She costs 2, hybrid blue-black, a black, and then a hybrid black-red. She is a 2/5 vampire rogue with flash. Whenever she or another vampire enters a battlefield under your control, you exile the top card of each player's library with a collection counter on it. And then once each turn, you can play a card with the collection counter on it and spend mana as or mana of any color. I typically reserve this deck for in-person play because it can be very hard to track online. So this would be a good place to bring it with us. And yeah, so it's stuff like that. Stuff I might not necessarily get to play all that often. Things like Yumori. My Yumori the Collector deck is a Planeswalker control deck. I don't necessarily play that a ton online much because it can be a little hard to track. But taking it there, I feel like I can work with it there. I have been working on reworking my Kel'Sian the Plague deck. I'm leaning a little more into the Voltron of it, so I probably will bring that. I'm definitely going to have my Wiznerds deck, which is Adelise, the Cinder Flame, whatever. And I don't know, I still have room for, like, so many decks. Maybe I'll bring Giada and have 3 mono white decks with me. I don't know, maybe. I'll likely bring my Finn the Fangbearer deck. That one can kind of hold its own with any level. And then, just the things that I'm going to have to sit down and think about, because who knows, decks might change in, you know, the next month. But that being said, I am very excited to be going to this Magic event. It's highly likely the only one I'm going to be able to go to this year, aside from the Commander Sealed event in Rochester in September. And I'm planning on having a grand old time with some friends that I don't get to see very often. And yeah, so that's just I'm just starting the thought process on what I'm going to want to bring with me. That being said, I will take a quick rest, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about a deck that I will be bringing, because I'm working on building it right now. See you in a minute.
Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff. Believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them.
And welcome back. Now, I was perusing online the other day, and I came across a card that was no longer $30, so I decided to pull the trigger and buy it. That card being Urtet, Remnant of Memnarch. So it's a 3-mana, 2-2 mirror. Whenever you cast a mirror spell, you make a 1-1 mirror artifact creature token. At the beginning of combat on your turn, untap each mirror you control, and you can pay Wooburg and tap it to put 3 +1/+1 counters on each mirror you control. Activate only during your turn. So, just from my having played the game for X amount of years, I have a bunch of mirror just sitting around. And I picked up a couple that I knew I didn't have. And there's a few more that I still need to pick up. But, for the most part, I have most of the deck built. I'm waiting on 20-ish cards. But let's start this off with the easy bit, which is going to be the lands. So, first up, as far as basics go, we have 2 of each color. The main reason for this is there's no real draw in any direction for what we need more colors of. And yeah, we have other ways of producing those colors. Let's go into our, you know, it's a 5-color deck, so it got my 5-color mana base that I have floating around. So it has all 10 shock lands and all 10 fetch lands. Then that's the core of the lands. It's the fetches, the shocks, and then the 10 basics. And then the few utility lands I have, which include things like Command Tower, Buried Ruin, Cavern of Souls, Inventor's Fair, and Reflection Pool. So it's a very, I don't want to say it's a stock 5-color mana base, because I know there are some people that just don't have this kind of 5-color mana base, but it's a very stock 5-color mana base for me, because just through, again, the years I've been playing this game, I have fetch lands and shock lands just kind of laying around. But, yeah. So, the core of the deck is Mirror. The Mirror theme encompasses nearly half of my non-land cards. And, yeah. So, stuff like Genesis Chamber, which is a 2-mana artifact, which is whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield, if Genesis Chamber is untapped, the creature's controller makes a 1-1 colorless mirror artifact creature token. We do have ways to tap this later on so that other people don't get to abuse it, but, you know, for every non-token mirror we play, we make a mirror token, and then we make a mirror token. So it's going to push us into having so many mirror that nobody's going to know what to do with us. One of the things I wanted to make sure I included was all of the mirror that make mana. So Palladium Mirror is a 3-mana mirror. It's a 2-2 that can tap to add 2 colorless. Alloy Mirror is a 3-mana 2-2 mirror that taps to add 1 mana of any color. And then you got the, I'm not sure what the actual, like, cycle of them is called, but it's your gold, iron, silver, copper, and lead. Those mirror, they're all 2 mana, they're all 1/1s, they're all mirror, and they all tap to add a color. So silver is blue, gold is white, copper is green, lead is black, and iron is red. They're going to be a big part of the ramp package in this deck, just because there are a ton of mirror that make mana. Mirror Convert also makes mana. It's a 2-mana 2/1 Phyrexian Mirror with Toxic 1, but you can tap it and pay 2 life to add 1 mana of any color. And yeah. Now, with that core being about Mirror, I definitely wanted to include things like Mirror Kinsmith, which is a 4-mana 3/1 Mirror. When it enters the battlefield, you can search your library for another Mirror and put it into your hand. Mirror Battlesphere is a 7-mana 4/7 Mirror Construct. When it enters the battlefield, it makes 4 1/1 colorless Mirror Artifact Creature Tokens, and then whenever it attacks, you may tap X untapped Mirror you control. If you do, Mirror Battlesphere gets +X +0 on a turn, and it deals X damage to the player or planeswalker that it's attacking. We needed things like Mirror Galvanizer, which is a 3-mana 2/2 mirror. Other mirror you control get +1/+1. You can pay 1 and tap it to untap each other mirror you control. And that's kind of where we settled with some of the other utility stuff. Okay, so after building the core of the deck with all of the mirror and mirror-centric stuff, that left us around 30 cards to work with. Now, this 30 cards includes our ramp, our removal, and our utility spells. So I don't necessarily want to get into the ramp, but I do want to talk about the spread of removal spells that we have. And first up we have is All is Dust, which is a 7-mana tribal sorcery. Each player sacrifices all colored permanents he or she controls. For the most part, we're not going to care. We don't have a ton of colored permanents. We do have a couple, but nothing that's going to like drastically screw us over. As far as removal, though, goes for like spot removal, we are running 2 counter spells. It is important to note that none of our spells have double pips, which is just because it might be difficult to get double blue or anything like that. So we don't have like OG counter spell, but we do have an Offer You Can't Refuse, which is a single blue for an instant counter target non-creature spell. Its controller makes 2 treasures. Negate is 1 and a blue for an instant counter target non-creature spell. Anguished Unmaking is 1, a white, and a black. For an instant exile target non-land permanent, you lose 3 life. Source of Plowshares is a single white for an instant exile a creature. Its controller gains life equals to its power. Path to Exile is single white for an instant exile a creature. Its controller may search its library for a basic land card, put the card onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. Technically this one exiles 2. Winds of Abandon, it's 1 and a white for a sorcery. Exile target creature you don't control. For each creature exiled this way, its controller searches their library for a basic land card. Those players put those cards onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle their libraries. But the important bit here is it's actually a board wipe, because it has overload for 4 white-white. You cast it and you change the text from target to each. So it hits everything. They get lands, but it doesn't matter. It's going to open the way for us to swing at them. Chaos Warp, 2 and a red for an instant. They shuffle a permanent into the library, then reveal the top card. If it's permanent, it goes into the play. Vandal Blast is a single red for a sorcery. Destroy an artifact you don't control, but it has overload again for 4 and a red. Beast Within is 2 and a green for an instant. Destroy a permanent. Its controller makes a 3/3 beast. And Generous Gift, 2 and a white for an instant. Destroy target permanent. Its controller gets a 3/3 elephant. The important thing about Beast Within and Generous Gift is it's one of the only ways we can deal with a land, which is the main reason why they got included there instead of just things that like exile or hit multiple things. Alright, and then I want to end this with what I'm calling my utility package. And that includes things that can untap Urtep, things that are going to help me win the game, just stuff like that. And it starts with Majorite Stone. It's a 2-mana artifact. You can pay one and tap it to untap target creature that has an activated ability with a tap and its mana cost. So this can untap Urtep, do the thing again. Illusionist Bracers is 2-mana for an equipment. Whenever an ability of an equipped creature is activated, if it isn't a mana ability, copy that ability. You may choose new targets for the copy. Equips for 3. Urtep's ability is not a mana ability. It costs mana, but it does not make mana. Unwinding Clock. Just a 4-mana artifact that untaps all artifacts during each other player's untap step. Urza, Prince of Krug. 2, a white and a blue for a 2/3 human artificer. Artifact creatures you control get +2/+2, and then you can pay 6 to create a token that's a copy of an artifact you control, except it's a 1/1 soldier in addition to its other types. Adaptive Automaton is a 3-mana 2/2 construct. When it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. It is the chosen type in addition to its other types. Other creatures you control get of the chosen type get +1/+1. Herald's Horn is a 3-mana artifact. When it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Creature spells of the chosen type cost 1 less to cast. But more importantly, at the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top card of your library. If it is a creature type of the chosen type, you may reveal it and put it into your hand. So this is just going to help us refill. Prismatic Omen is 1 and a green for an enchantment that says lands you control are every basic land type in addition to their other types. So this alone completely mana fixes us for Urtep's ability. And then we have 3 cards that I'm calling my I want to end the game now please cards. The first one being Eldrazi Monument. It is a 5-mana artifact. Creatures you control get +1/+1, have flying and indestructible. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice a creature if you can't sacrifice the monument. Mirror Entity is 2 and a white for a 1/1 shapeshifter. It has changeling, which means it is all creature types. But you can pay X, and until end of turn, creatures you control have base power and toughness XX and gain all creature types. It is important that that is the only way in the deck to turn Urza into a mirror so that you can pump him as well. And then Akroma's Memorial. 7-mana, legendary artifact, creatures you control have flying, first strike, vigilance, trample, haste, and protection from black and red. And that's Urtep. At least that's what I'm building. Again, I'm still about 20 cards off. Some of them I know I have floating around. I just have to find them. There's a few I know I'm going to have to pick up. But yeah, that's kind of it. And I guess once again, I hope to see you all in Minneapolis. And I will catch you next time. Goodbye. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.